A sharp knife is an act of mercy. People misunderstand that. They see the blade, the shine, the edge, thin enough to split light, and they think violence. Primitive. A dull knife is violence. A dull knife tears. It bruises what it should divide. It turns clean work into labor. Any chef worth the title knows this. Any surgeon, too, I suppose. Though surgeons lack imagination. I learned knife work in Paris from a man who smoked between courses and believed onions deserved respect. He used to slap the back of my hand with a wooden spoon whenever I rushed. "Again," he would say. Not louder, not angrier. Just again. Precision, he taught me, is not speed. Precision is control, wearing speed as a costume. I was 22. Angry, hungry, brilliant, though no one had the manners to say so yet. By 35, they were saying it often. By 40, they were afraid not to. That is how kitchens work. Talent earns attention. Discipline earns power. Fear keeps both polished. People call my restaurant intimate. That means small and expensive. They call the food daring. That means they don't understand it, but they enjoy telling their friends they ate it. They call me difficult. That means I am a woman who refuses to apologize for standards. Men are exacting. Women are difficult. Do keep up. Every evening begins the same way. Mise en place. Everything in its place. Shallots minced, stock strained, herbs washed and wrapped, knives sharpened, sauces reduced until they coat the spoon like silk over skin. Chaos has no place in my kitchen. Chaos is what amateurs call passion when they don't want to admit they're unprepared. Murder is similar. Not that I say that out loud. Usually. The first time I thought it, I was trimming silver skin from venison. The comparison arrived uninvited. Clean pressure. Correct angle. No wasted motion. I remember pausing, knife in hand, amused by the simplicity of it. So many human problems are treated as emotional when they are logistical. Timing, access, temperature, disposal, alibi, these are not moral questions. They are practical ones. Morality comes later, usually from people who weren't there and have never had to make a difficult thing look effortless. That evening, a critic came in. Not just any critic. The critic. Julian Voss. He had once described my saffron broth as technically competent, but emotionally barren. Emotionally barren? About broth. There are insults, and then there are invitations. He arrived at 8:15 with a younger woman who laughed too loudly and touched his sleeve whenever she wanted him to feel clever. He ordered the tasting menu. Of course he did. Men like Julian never choose. They submit themselves to experience, then complain about surrender. I watched from the pass as each course went out. Oyster with green apple, duck liver with black pepper caramel, charred leek, smoked bone marrow, bitter orange. He ate slowly, made notes, frowned twice, smiled once, reluctantly. Good. Reluctant pleasure is still pleasure. By the fifth course, he had begun to sweat. Not dramatically. Just along the hairline. A lesser kitchen would have panicked. Mine did not. My staff knows better than to react before I do. And I did not. I adjusted the garnish on table 6, corrected a sauce, sent back a plate because the radish was leaning like it had lost the will to live. Julian loosened his tie. His companion asked if he was all right. He nodded. Brave. Stupid. Often the same gesture. The sixth course was lamb, perfectly pink, rested 9 minutes, finished with rosemary ash. He took one bite and closed his eyes. I knew then that he understood. Not everything, but enough. His body had begun explaining what his mind refused to accept. I have always appreciated that about the body. It is honest under pressure. People are not. Later, the papers would call it a tragic allergic reaction. A terrible accident. A failure of communication. They would mention the ambulance, the stunned diners, the devastated chef. There was a photograph of me outside the restaurant, one hand pressed to my mouth, eyes bright with what everyone assumed were tears. I looked magnificent. Grief photographs well when properly lit. The investigation lasted 6 weeks. They found nothing. Of course they found nothing. Poison is vulgar. Allergens are personal. Besides, I hadn't killed him. Not legally. I'd merely prepared a meal for a man who believed attention to detail was beneath him. His medical records were private. His arrogance was not. People will tell you everything if you let them think they are being admired. A story at a party, a compliment to a server, a joke about nearly dying from hazelnuts in Milan. Julian had been careless with his own mythology. I simply listened. That is another thing cooking teaches you. Listen to butter when it foams, to sugar before it burns, to silence when a dining room realizes something has gone beautifully, terribly wrong. After Julian, the restaurant became impossible to book. People are funny that way. Death makes everything more desirable, provided it happens to someone else. They came for the food, for the scandal, for the thrill of surviving dinner. I gave them what they wanted. I always do. Tonight, the dining room is full. A minister at table 2, an actor at 5, a woman at 7 whose husband thinks she doesn't know about the apartment near the river, and at table 9, Detective Moreau. He requested the chef's counter. Bold. He watches my hands as I slice, not my face. Good. He has instincts. The amuse-bouche is waiting, one perfect bite. He lifts it. Pauses. Should I be nervous? I smile. Only a little. That depends, Detective.
On what?
I lean closer, knife still in hand. On whether you've been careless. For one beautiful second, he doesn't move. Then he eats. Brave. Stupid. Often the same gesture. I turn back to my board. The knife falls, clean, certain, merciful. Everything in its place.